Thank you, Mike, for that offertory. It's very worshipful. Well, this morning, things are a little different, aren't they? And I even noticed that my wife isn't even sitting on the right side of the sanctuary. She's down here. So I'm going to have to change my ways this morning and go this direction. So we appreciate you being here this morning on this Memorial Day weekend, and we are happy to welcome Brent Deakins and his wife, Nicole, to us this morning. And Brent is going to come and share with us what the Lord has put on his heart. I've gotten a little bit better acquainted with Brent over the last few months, as you can imagine. And Brent's a great guy. He has a lot of history standing before the Lord and administering the gospel to his congregation. And he's been a big part of Eagle Nazarene before he's moved over into the district assistant district superintendency, so here in town. So thank you, Brent, for coming, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you today. And yes, there's some change here. You're sitting on the other side. And my wife said, bring the podium down there and just change it up and make it crazy. And I said, are you wanting everybody to be mad at me before I even start? That's crazy. Well, it's good to be with you today. If you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But before we get started, I just want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. You are an important part of the body. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Man, I'm glad you're here today. You are an important part of the body of Christ. Now, say out loud with me, I am an important part of the body of Christ. Wow, you guys are good. You're good at that. Well, it is good to be with you today. My name is Brent Deakins, and I grew up in this valley. I went to Bohr High School and Boise First Church growing up, and then went over to NNU, where I was an English education major. I had Dr. Reginald Hill. Where's he at? I saw him in the choir. Yes, I don't know if you remember me, but you transformed my life through British literature. So thank you. And a math minor, and taught for several years in Boise area, and then felt a calling into ministry and was part of Extreme Nazarene for a while. Some of you were part of the Extreme Nazarene team several years ago when we went to Argentina and Peru. And then our family went to Georgia and planted a church for a few years, and then have been back serving at Eagle Naz as the executive pastor and now at the district office. And so it is good to be with you today. Scott Shaw, our district superintendent, would be here, but he is on a much-deserved sabbatical right now. And so very gracious for you to have me with you. I'll give you greetings from the district, first of all. We are very excited about how God is moving on our district right now. We have some amazing churches and pastors and congregation. Church growth and vitality and health is occurring across this district. There's about 50 Nazarene churches on the Intermountain District in a 4-state region. And we have new churches popping up all the time. If you're familiar with our district, you would know that there are 3 churches in Salt Lake. But just this last month, we registered our 4th church in Salt Lake. Isn't that exciting? And this Sunday, right now, I believe, they are launching a new Samoan church in Salt Lake. So that will be our 5th church, I believe. And then we have a bunch of residents from colleges around the nation that are down there, and they are working very hard to go to another place where they're looking to start another church. And so we're very grateful for that. Our Salt Lake Central Church has combined with an African congregation, and they just registered 42 members a few months ago from the African congregation. And so we have actually 4 African congregations, the one down in Salt Lake. We have one in Twin Falls. We have 5 Mile Church of the Nazarene, which is combined with the new African congregation. And then we have another one that's starting to pop up in Boise. So if you'll be praying for our churches as we move forward, We know that God is blessing in a major way. If you didn't know, over Easter, we had a new church plant that launched in the Boise area called Midtown Church out of Tree City. And I was just in a conversation this last week with a pastor who's looking to start an extension campus. So God is on the move. Amen? And he is still at work. And you are part of the larger body of Christ here on our district and across our region in USA, Canada, and across the world. And we know and we believe that God is working and he is on the move. And so will you just say that with me again? I am part of the body of Christ. Okay, that sounds good. Now you got to believe it, right? I realize that your church today finds itself in a new place, a new chapter in your ministry, and thank you for honoring the Wilsons so well last week and celebrating them so well. And it's amazing to have a pastor that has been here for 23 years. In fact, I would guess 99% of you only know Pastor Doug as your pastor. There may be very few here that would know a pastor before Pastor Doug. And so that is a special, special thing in a church. And he has been your leader for many years. And this is a new Sunday, though. And if you're brand new, check this out. If you're brand new at Bethel for the very first time this Sunday, here's what's happening. The pastor has been here, Doug Wilson, for 23 years, and he is retiring. And he has left a very healthy, vibrant church here. And it is a church that has been very foundational on our district, has been strong in missions, and has a great, great community of people. And so welcome for the very first time to Napa Bethel Church, right? If you're new here. The district office has been working very hard with the board over the last several months. I want to affirm the board here. They've done a great job. These are the leaders that you've elected, and so you want to trust your board with the work that they're doing. The district office is here to help. We have developed a short-term plan and a longer-term plan, and I want to emphasize two things right now. They're the two P's, patience and prayer. Can you say them with me? What? Patience and prayer. One of the biggest mistakes that churches can make in this process is to get in too big of a hurry of trying to find a new pastor. You want to get the right person, not just the next available person. Okay? And so we'll be working with your board to develop a pastoral profile over the next several months. We'll be asking for your feedback. There will be surveys that go out. We are focused on being patient in this process, making sure we find a good fit. The mission is to find out what is the culture, what's the DNA of this church, what's the identity here, what is the type of leader that you're looking for. And so it's really important for us to focus on the now and not try to predict the future. Anybody like me and loves to try to predict the future in your own life? Yeah, I know, it's hard. But our desire is that we find the right leader for the future of this church. And so that's kind of what's happening in the interim time. We'll have an interim pastor here next Sunday. Pastor Jerry McConnell will be here, and he'll be preaching through the summer. Jerry is one of my favorite people in all the world, and you are going to love him, I promise. Well, I hope you love him. But let's pray together before we get into God's word. Father, we are so blessed to be here together, and we thank you for the work of this church, for Bethel Church, who is a strong and firm foundation. And Father, I just thank you for the work of the Wilsons and Pastor Doug for so many years. And Father, I thank you for the blessing that he has been on this place. Father, you have placed this congregation and this church here for a reason and for such a time as this. And so, Father, I pray a blessing on these people in this new chapter. Father, may this transition be of you, God. Would you help us to be prayerful in the process, to be open in the process, and to trust you completely as we wait upon what you have next for us. I pray that you'd speak to us today through your word and bless us as we dive into your word together. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, repeat with me again. I am an important part of the body of Christ. Important part of the body of Christ. I want to emphasize that to you. And just for fun today, I think all of us have bodies here, and so we can kind of figure that out. There's several parts to the body: your fingers, your wrists, your elbows, your shoulders. There's, you know, the pieces, the feet and the little toe, and there's all the internal organs. And I want you to just think for a minute. You as an individual, if you were to identify what part of the body you are, and you think of a real body, what part might it be? What part of the body would you be? Some of you say, oh, I'm the pretty face of the body of Christ. No. I'm the hands and feet. I'm an internal organ. Or some might say, oh, I'm that appendix part that nobody knows what I'm here for. I have no purpose. I want you to know today that you are an important part of the body. And the body of Christ is here together functioning, not only as the Nampa Bethel Church, but as the church across the world. And so, as we read Romans chapter 12, I want you to remember that important point. And I'd love to invite you to stand as we read from God's Word. This is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. He's informing us of some important information. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. You may be seated. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want you to take note in verse 7 really quickly. It says, now to each of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I know Pastor Doug, he liked to help you take notes. And so if you're taking notes today, that's just the very first one. That gifts are given for the common good. What are gifts given for? Yeah, they're given for all of us, for those of us in common. But I also want us to see that they are also given for the individual good as well. Look at verse 8. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, I'm not going to get off on a tangent here. I preached a whole message on tongues before, and we can have a healthy conversation on that later. But the original Greek is just simply languages for us today. All of these are at work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So I want you to see in your notes that all members are important and have a role. All members are important and have a role. When you say to your neighbor and look them right in the eye, you are an important member of the body of Christ. That's an important thing, because they need to know that they are important and that they have a role. Now, Paul, he follows the example of Jesus. He's a great teacher, a genius teacher, because he puts an analogy together. Do you remember your freshman English class? A simile using like or as, metaphor not using like or as, comparing two things, right? And so Paul is doing that here, informing the members of the body of Christ in Corinth that they are important members, that they have value and purpose, and he wants them to see that as this New Testament church starts developing, that they all need to be involved, that every person is important. So he uses this example of a body. Now, I was going to bring a mannequin today, because as a teacher, I like visual props. But then I realized, wait a minute, we've got like 200 bodies here. So anybody want to come be my model today? No, just kidding. I don't know. I don't need a mannequin, but we all have bodies, so we understand this example. And just as the body has many parts, we all form one body in the Spirit. So the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If you look at verse 12, it says, "The body has all of these parts." So it is with Christ. See, Paul is trying to bring a connection here between the gift and the body. Earlier, he talks about all these gifts. Now he's talking about the body. He extends the metaphor a bit. He elaborates a bit on this idea. And what he's trying to say is that every member is important. So if you take a moment and you try to smell something through your ear, it doesn't work. You know the old joke where they say, touch your ear, and you try to mess everyone up? Every body part is unique. So again, turn to your person next to you and say, see, I told you, you're an important part of the body. You say, you are an important part of the body here. Skip down to Romans 12, starting in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, verse 22, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that they think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Now pay attention to verse 25. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. See, I want us to see today, and this is in your notes, the body is one and unique at the same time. The body is one and it is uniquely different at the same time. See, we can find oneness in our diversity. You just look at the body and all the unique and diverse parts of it, and you realize that there is oneness with diversity. The other thing we see in this is that the body does need each other. You are an important part of the body, and you need the person sitting next to you. You need the person sitting on the far side of the congregation than you. You need the person that was in first hour today. And you need the person that's out in the world that needs to be here. The body needs each other. And then the other thing we realize here is that a healthy body is unified. A healthy body is unified. I was listening to a podcast this week and thinking about this. Jesus, when he came to earth, he started developing his disciples. And if you pay attention to the disciples that he was developing, he called one who was Simon the Zealot. Now, do you know the Zealot clan? They actually were trying to incite the kingdom to come in a very radical, violent, and forceful way. They would go and do acts against the Romans and the government there because they were trying to incite this revolution. And so he was part of Jesus' 12. And I'm not going to get like all political today, but I want you to see two ends of a spectrum. Here you have a zealot on one end. Now think about Matthew the tax collector, who was on the payroll for the Romans, right? Uniquely different part of the body. Could you imagine what it was like around the dinner table with those two guys? We really do need each other. And I think this is an important part of Scripture as your church enters into transition in this time. Because Paul is talking to the early church. And the early church was just developing. They were trying to understand who they were. They were trying to understand the Spirit of God that was placed in them. And the Spirit of God has given you a gift. And he's placed it within you for a reason. And so they're forming and they're storming and they're norming together. They're trying to understand their unique DNA and the culture of the church and the do's and don'ts and how we're distinguished between the Jewish people. Many of them were Jews. So it was kind of this new start. And they didn't have the structure that we have today with a youth pastor and a children's pastor and an office administrator and X and Y and Z. Uniquely different, yet one. One critical way that the Spirit begins to work is that he gives all of us a gift to help make this happen. That is the work of the Spirit. He's distributing gifts among the people, just like the body. He says in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the Spirit distributes them. See, I could look amongst this congregation, and I've met some of you, and I know some of you, and there's some very gifted individuals, very beautiful singing today. That's not my gift. Some of you were born with that gift, and you're using that gift well. I think it's raining. I love the rain. When God made each of you and he placed this gift within you, he may have given you the gift of wisdom and discernment. Maybe you're a natural leader. Maybe you love to serve behind the scenes and it would scare you to death to be up here speaking. Maybe God has given you the gift of encouragement and you know how to speak life into people. Maybe he's given you the gift of making coffee. Anybody here know how to make coffee? Yeah, see, I just heard this morning that they need help in the fellowship and food time, someone making coffee. Not a spiritual gift necessarily, but it's a gift. The gift of giving back to the congregation. The gift of hospitality, the gift of greeting, the gift of making someone feel welcome. Guys, maybe the gift of serving. Maybe you have a trailer and you're just willing to help someone. Maybe it's maintenance in the facility here. Some of us, we've had these life experiences, and so we've been given a gift, and we've gone through school or the school of hard knocks, and these experiences over life, we've developed this gift. And that's called discipleship. And over time, you've discovered that this gift actually brings you joy and fulfillment and life. See, the truth is that when the Spirit awakens this gift within you, it is meant for the common good, but it's also meant for the individual good as well. As you develop your gift, I want you to be vibrant Christians who love the gift that God's given you. He doesn't give it to you just to plug a hole. He gives it to you to give you life and life abundantly, to have fulfillment and joy in all you do. Some of you have been given the gift of compassion. You've been through something and you know what it's like to sit by somebody who's hurting. So another thing in your notes, each of us are part of the body. I want you to say this with me again. I am an important part of the body. Important part of the body. I was reading Tozer this week in The Pursuit of God, and he says this, social religion is perfected when private religion is purified. That's sanctification right there. Social religion is perfected when private religion is purified. The body becomes stronger as its members become healthier. See, we can learn from that today. There's this connection between the gift that you've been given and the greater body here at Bethel. Whatever gift God has given you, as you develop it, as you mature, as you are transformed by that gift, the greater body is also transformed. The gifts enhance the body. So the gift that you've been given by the Spirit should not be wasted. It should not be hidden. We don't want to hide it under a bushel. No, thank you, honey. I don't want to hide it under a bushel. You want to let it? Should we start singing it? Worship team, back up. Let's do this. I don't want to hide this gift under a bushel. No, we got to let it shine. This gift has been given for your benefit and for the gift of others. And so it's time to give it back. So you may be asking yourself the question, you know, what is my role in the body? Where do I connect? How will I step up? There is no greater time than in a time of transition in a church for you to experiment with the gifts of the Spirit. Because during this time, there's a lot of needs that are out there. There's a lot of change that's out there. You've relied on your staff and your pastor for a lot of things. But now is the time where the gift can start to shine. There's always the need in the church. But it's not just a need to fill a hole. It's a need for you to find fulfillment. I was talking to a lady this morning. She said, I came to this church 12 years ago because of Celebrate Recovery. And she said, you should see how God's transformed my life. And now I serve in the kids ministry and I love kids ministry. So right there, there's a need in Celebrate Recovery. Come alongside of people there. There's a need in kids ministry. We want to serve those kids. But she said, I've never been so fulfilled before. Because she's serving where God's given her a gift. Maybe it's teaching a class. Maybe you love standing up in front of people. Maybe it's calling on a sick person. Being compassionate and being alongside. Maybe it's volunteering the office and folding bulletins or cleaning. I'll tell you what, this summer, camps are coming. There is no funner place in the world than to be with teenagers. Amen? There were no amens there. It was just laughter. Let me say that again. There's no funner place than to be with teenagers. Amen? All right, if you said amen, we just signed you up. Listen, Trinity Pines, I'll just tell you this. Trinity Pines is like breaking record numbers from back before the pandemic, 2019. And we need workers. We need helpers. We need volunteers. We're having a hard time finding people that are even wanting to come get paid to work. And if you've been affected by camp before growing up and you know the power of camping, God may be calling you just to help with camp this summer. It doesn't mean you have to hang out with teenagers, but there's cleaning and there's other things that need to happen up there. Listen, God may have given you the gift of prayer. He may have given you the gift of prayer. This is the time to be prayerful as we go through this transition. This summer, I'm guessing you have VBS here. Who's going to sign up for that? If you are not currently involved in the body of Christ, there is no better time to learn about the gifting that the Spirit has placed within you. And it's not just for a place, it's for meaning and for purpose and for passion and for fulfillment and for life abundantly. So I want to challenge you with something today. Do you like challenges, or do you just come to church to listen? I want to challenge you with something, if you're willing to take a challenge. Sometime in the next 7 days, before you walk back in this room, that you would just have a conversation with someone you trust about the gifts of the Spirit. And just say to them, it may be on the ride home today, or it may be coffee sometime this week. You know, I think the Spirit has put a gift in me to do X, or to do Y, or to do Z. What do you think about that? And help me just explore that. You know, it's just a conversation. Would you be willing to take the challenge of just a simple conversation with someone to apply the message here to say, listen, I think God's put a gift in me. And there's nothing more powerful than for someone to look you right in the eye and say, the gift I see in you is, and for them to believe in you. So will you take that challenge? Just kind of nod your head with me if you will. You don't have to raise your hand or stand and give up your firstborn. And I want you to know before you leave today that you are a needed and important part of the body of Christ here. And that God has a special, special thing in store for you as you grow in that gifting. Not only for you corporately, but for you individually. And I want us to think about, how do I maximize this opportunity that we're in right now? It's not an opportunity of just solely finding that next pastor. That's not the focus right now. The key to maximizing this opportunity that we have in front of us is found in each and every person in this room fully surrendering their life to the Holy Spirit and to the gifts that God has given us, so that we can be filled with love, that we can be empowered to live out this mission, and that we can transform this community and our world. So the question I have for you today is, are you willing to submit to the Spirit of God? I love that, yes. It's a response. Are you willing to submit to the Spirit of God? As you say yes individually, this body flourishes. Let's pray together as we close. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for the power of your word. Your word is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. And Father, would your word penetrate into our hearts today? Father, I pray that many would take the challenge this week to have a conversation about the gifts, how they're part of the body of Christ. Father, I pray a blessing over Nampa Bethel as they walk forward into this new stage. And Father, we've all been through life transitions before. We've all been through seasons of life before. And here's the thing, Father, we have to trust you, and we do trust you in this time of transition. And so, Father, as we go out into our week this week, would you help us to answer that question? I'm willing to surrender my life to your Spirit and to the gifting that you've given me. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, Pastor Jerry will be here next week. Please be nice to him. Be good to him. He's one of my favorite people in the world.
Would you stand with us as we sing?